Begin the current daf. Masechtas Brachas daf Mem Beis. Begin an Amud Aleph. Begin with Tais Divrei Maaschal. Tais begins with the words of the Gemara Lachmanias. Tais comes to explain what exactly is these Lachmanias that the Gemara mentions. Now, as the Gemara mentioned that Lachmanias, these types of pastries, one could make an Eruv Chateris with it. One could make a Amiti Lechem in Aretz. So Pirush Rashi explains that's Ovelash, which is this type of bread that's dough that wasn't really kneaded. And you just mix the dough with water and a thick type of a kneading, and that's this ovalash, which Taisa says, but in here that doesn't seem to be correct, because the imkain, if that would be the case, then afilo loy kava, then even if one did not make a permanence of a meal, nami livrach ha-maitzi, then even then you should have to make a maitzi. The Gemara was saying that, oh, this is something that when you make a kviya suda, then you can make a maitzi. But if it's ovalash, then even without making a kviya suda, you would have to make a maitzi. Shari hu lechem gamar, says Taisis, that is bona fide bread, shari seifa isa. Because at the end it's going to be a dough, so although when it's baked, it was made without kneading it, but at the end of the day, it turns into a piece of bread, and therefore, why does it have to be specifically that you convey a suda to make a maitzi? It should be a maitzi without that. So therefore, Taisis disagrees with Rashi. But near Lafarish, it says it would seem to explain the hainu nilish, which is a dough with a loose consistency, like a loose type of a batter, which they mix the flour with water in the pot, like a type of a porridge, and they pour that dough on the vegetable leaves, and they bake it in the oven with the leaves. So therefore, the bracha is mezainis, because that's like a classic pasa baba kisna. Miu, however, as the Gemara was telling us, ki kava sudasi aleh, but if you make a permanence of the meal with it, you sit down to eat a meal of this nilish, then mevarcha lav amitzi, then you're going to make a bracha of amitzi. And it can be Purim, like some people have the custom to eat this as a meal on Purim. Now, miu, however, Rabbeinu Shimshon Pirush, he explains actually, de'ein levarch alav hamitzi. Don't make the hamitzi on the nilish itself, even if you make a kviya sud on it, because the hava kamei daisa, because essentially it really is like a porridge, where even if you make a kviya sud, even though it's a chamishas min hadagan, the halacha is actually you don't make hamitzi. It doesn't have teritza de nahama, it doesn't have the form of a bread. It's not made into that type of form. So actually, you shouldn't make the hamitzi on that. Rather, one should make the hamitzi on something else and then include the nilish on that. Now, we continue in the next taste of the maskel. Taste begins with the words of the Gemara, sila kitmer. What we meant was removal, which Taisa explains the custom in today's times where we don't have this minig, this custom to remove the table before Birchas Hamazon, before benching. That is, the Gemara brought, the Rav Papa went to the house of Rav Huna, Berid of Nas, and after they finished the meal, they brought in front of them something to eat. So Rav Papa ate it. And then they asked him, what do you mean? Didn't we learn that whenever you finish a meal, then you're not allowed to eat anymore until after you do Birchas Hamazon, and you make a new bracha because you're already Masir Das, you already forgot your consciousness already from the first Suda and from the original bracha? So Rav Papa responded, he says, no, the halacha wasn't said that if you finish your meal. Rather, it was said that if you remove the table and you didn't do Birchas Hamazon yet, then it's already still forbidden until you bench and you make a new bracha Rishayna, because that already you already gave up already from the original meal. So on that says Taisus, the Mashmid sounds like Shadarkin Hoyi Lasalik HaShulchan Kaidim Birchas Hamazon. It sounds like that was their custom, that that's what they would do. They remove the table even before they bench. And that's what we're saying, that if they already moved the table, then you're really done for the meal until you bench and make a new bracha Rishayna. Says Taisa, L'chayr Kasha, L'minik Shalom, that seems to be difficult for our custom. Sha'onu makpidim shaloy l'salak ha'lechem kodim. To the contrary, our minig actually is, we're particular not to remove the table before Birchas Hamazon. We actually want the bread there. But in our Gemara, it sounds like that to the contrary, they would remove the table with the bread before Birchas Hamazon. So that Taisa says, V'shem b'meim nami. No, actually, maybe even in their days, in Talmudic times, L'hoyu m'salkin ha'shulcha m'kmei ha'mavarech. That the one who was making the Birchas Hamazon, where one person would bench and everyone else would listen, the one who would do the Birchas Hamazon, actually, they would not remove his table, like is our custom today, that we don't remove the table and we leave the bread on the table. This time we say that they remove the tables from the people was in front of all the other people who were reclining at the meal. The fisha yulahen shulchan is ketanim, because at Talmudic times, they had small tables. Everyone would eat on his own table in front of him. And that's what we're saying, that every single person, they would remove the table in front of him. And this, that, we have the minig not to remove the table before Birchas Hamazon. That's told by the one who's benching. By him, yes, we don't remove the table. We want the bread there when you're benching. Avalanu, but says Taisus concludes, but us, Sheregilim Lechel Kulanu Al Shulchan Echad, we don't have this Talmudic custom of having separate tables. We all eat on one table. That actually ain't no L'Salka Shulchan Alacha Birchas Hamazon. Yes, it's not appropriate to remove the table until after benching, and therefore we don't have this, essentially, this halacha of the removal of the table, because we don't do that since our seating arrangements is different than it was in Talmudic times. Now, continue the next taste of Maschel. Taste begins with the words of the Gemara, Reb Zeira Loy Achel. He didn't eat. which Tosfos comes to explain, why didn't they eat by making a bracha? And that is, as we mentioned, the Gemara's discussion regarding what's considered the conclusion of the meal, the Gemara brings an answer with Rav and Reb Zeira that they went to the house of Resh Galusa to eat. And it says after they removed the table from in front of them, then they were sent another portion of meat from the house of the Resh Galusa. Rav ate that portion, Reb Zeira didn't eat that portion. So Reb Zeira asked Rav, what do you mean, don't you hold? So we first brought a story with Gamar. Now the Gemara brought another story with Siluk, that was the revised interpretation of Halacha. What do you mean? But here the table is even removed. So for sure it's going to be forbidden to eat until after Berachas Hamazon. So Rav said to him, a Halacha that no, even though that's usually the Halacha, but since we are guests and we're dependent on the table of the Resh Galusa, of the head of the Jewish people, who they were eating by, so our removal of the table is not considered removal, because our thoughts are dependent on what the household leader is going to do for us. And therefore we can still eat. But says Taisus Tame, it's a wonder. Lefima shemefar shema olam, this that the world explains. That havlon unavarech, that although the Gemara tells us elsewhere, that when people say, let us go and make the Birchas HaMazon, which is called Rabbeisa Mevelim Benchen in Yiddish, that then the halacha becomes aslamishti, that then you're forbidden to drink anymore. That they explain that specifically, what does that mean you can't drink anymore once you prepare yourself a benching? The world explains it, the velt meaning in Yiddish means to say that the commentaries on the Gemara explain, it's b'lei bracha shalafanov, that means to say, it only means to say you can't drink anymore without making a bracha rishayna beforehand. But it doesn't mean you can't drink anymore. If you make a bracha rishayna on the beverage, you're allowed to drink it even before Birchas HaMazon. So based on that interpretation, as Taisis, Samai Le'achal, why didn't Reb Zeira eat the portion that was sent from the Resh Galusa? Livrechalev Le'achal. Yes, you're right. Once you prepare yourself a benching, your meal is over, and the original Bracha Rishon is not going to work anymore. But it doesn't mean you have to wait till after Birchas HaMazon. You could eat before Birchas HaMazon or drink. You're just going to make a new Bracha. So why didn't you make a new Bracha and eat that portion that was sent? Says Taisis V'Shemba, but maybe Hayutav Shal Shoyubud Pas, because maybe the dish that was sent from the Resh Galusa had bread in it, and V'Hayutzarach Berachas HaMaitzi V'Nitzas Daim, and then it would require, it's not just something he could have made a Shahakal Mazayin, it would require a Brach of HaMaitzi, and washing the hands, and so on and so forth, V'Tayrach HaYilasa Kokach, and therefore that was a great exertion for him to have to start over the whole meal again, go wash his hands, and make HaMaitzi, and so on, and therefore he didn't do that. But you're right, says Taisis, that would have been the option to go ahead and make a Brach Rishayna, which is allowed to, even though it's before Berachas HaMazon. Continuing next, Taisis Divrei Maaseh, this begins with words of the Gemara, as we just quoted in the story, Ataka de Resh Galusa Samchina. We rely on the table of the Resh Galusa, which Taisis explains, first of all, related halacha, if someone forgot to eat the Afikoyman, until after they already said, Rabbeisa Mevel mentioned, let us go and make Berachas HaMazon, he does not have to go ahead and make a new Bracha on the Hamitzi of the Afikoyman. And also, that if they said Rabbeisa Mevel mentioned, that's considered Hes Chadas, that, okay, that means to say you finished your relationship with the first meal, that's only when the Balabayas, when the homeowner says that. And that is, as we said from the previous tasters, the Gemara brings the story of Rav and Zera. They went to the house of Resh Galusa and they ate a meal over there. After they moved the table, they sent another portion. Rava ate, and Zera didn't. Zera asked Rava, what do you mean? Isn't that the halacha when once you remove the table, you can't eat anymore until after Berachas HaMazon? And Rava responded, yeah, but we were dependents over here, because we're not the homeowners. So it's the homeowner, which is the Resh Galusa over here, that only then is it considered ended. But what we said, what we did, is not considered significant. Now, based on this halacha, Taisus brings the Misha Shachal Lechal Afikoyman. Interesting comparison of Taisus. If someone forgot to eat the Afikoyman on the Seder night, Vaman, he says, forgetting that there's Safan, he's already up to Beiruch, Havlon ben Avaruch, oh, Rabbi Seilik, it's like a regular Yom Tov meal, he already ate the Sud, the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, Havlon ben Avaruch, let's go bench. So it says, Taisus, Eino Hes Chadas. Here it's not going to be considered a separation, a lapse of consciousness, that then you can't eat anymore, as we're saying here in the Gemara, because Danana Taka Derachmana Samchina, a similar type of a logic that we said regarding the Resh Galusa, by the Seder night, we're dependent on the table of Hashem. And that is because since Hashem commanded us to eat the Afikoyman on this night, it ain't over till it's over that the Rabbi Nishlam tells us it's over, just like the homeowner. And therefore, even if someone's a Rabbi Shmuel Benjamin, it's not considered Hesachadas, and you could still eat the Afikoyman. Now, more of a sistesis, v'mshachachu beirech, if someone forgot, and he already benched Birchas HaMazon. V'leyochel Afikoyman, once we mentioned this, Halacha Taisus says, and he didn't eat Afikoyman, ain't it tzach lachzirem to go back after Birchas HaMazon and eat the Afikoyman. Why? So Taisus calls the chol matzis, all the matzahs that we eat on the Seder night, l'shei mitzvah suiz, they're all made for the purposes of the mitzvah, and therefore we fulfilled the chiv of Afikoyman with the matzah that we ate l'shei mechilis matzah when we had by moitzi matzah, and therefore one does not have to eat again another kezayis of Afikoyman if you're already benched. Now, moreover, Tosfos qualifies. He says, "V'hadaminan." This that we say, which we had mentioned parenthetically previously, that the Gemara says in Chol Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, "Ki Amar Havlan V'Nevarach." That when you say, "Rabbi Yitzchak Mevel mentioned, let us go and bless," which is the Birchas Hamazon. That then, as we said in the previous tesis, Asla Mishti, that you're not allowed to drink anymore, V'chinasrim Kulan, and so too, everyone is already forbidden. That once they said, okay, let's bench, no one could eat anymore. Says tesis, Hainadavki Kiyama Bala Bayis. That's only if the homeowner said it. He's the one in control. Avaloy Oirich, but not a guest. And V'chinasrim Kulan. And when do we say that they're all forbidden? Hainadavki Kiyama Bala Bayis. That's if the homeowner says it. But because of a guest, he says, okay, let's go, let's bench already. And in the Saran, they're not forbidden. And says tesis, Va'af Ihu Gufa. Even he himself, the guest who says, okay, I'm done over here, let's go bench. He could go continue eating with the homeowner because his decision is not a decision, it's the homeowner's, and therefore it won't be a hesradas and he can continue eating. During the next taste of Maskal, the same words of the Gemara, Taka the Reshkalusa, something that we rely on the table of the Reshkalusa, which taste comes to explain that guests that are dependent on the table of their host and they are being brought in front of them fruits one after another. They don't have to go ahead and make a bracha on each fruit that come later on that they, let's say, weren't expecting. And that is because our Gemara brought that the guests that are dependent on the table of the host, the removal of their table is not considered a hesach hadas because it doesn't depend on them and their removal. It depends on the balabais. So it says Taisus based on this because shiraga lechel mini peris. When the custom is, when it's normal that they bring all different types of fruits, mavin lehem zechazeh, and they're being brought not at the same time, but later on and then later on. So it says Taisi Yeshem, and those who want to say, Shetzarach Levarach Al Kol Chad V'Chad, the guest has to make a bracha on each and every one that's brought in front of him. Why? So they don't know if the homeowner is going to bring them anymore. And therefore, once they finish the first fruit, they're already being Masich Das from another fruit that's being brought. Similar to Halacha is regarding a shamish, an attendant, the waiter of the meal. He has to make a bracha on every single piece of bread that's given to him because he doesn't know, he doesn't expect anything more that's being brought for him. And therefore, it's a Hesach Das from one piece of bread to the next piece. So to hear the guests, they don't know anything more is coming. And therefore, when it comes again 20 minutes later, oh, we didn't know it's coming, so if you have to make a new bracha, you can't say that that bracha is chal on that. But says Taisa, but they would seem, no, she'ein tzarach levarach, they don't have to make a new bracha. Why? Which is our concept we're saying over here, lefi she'seimchen al shulchan balabayis. Just like we said regarding, let's say, the birchas hamazon, it's not a hesach hadas in the meal because they're relying on the table of the homeowner, whatever he says they're going to do. V'hain the beirish kalusa, that's the same concept of the hazaresh kalusa. So to over here, regarding the bracha rishayna that's going to be chal, whatever they're going to bring me, is that's what I'm having in mind. And therefore it is chal, it is taking effect on that, and therefore they don't have to make a new bracha rishayna on the new peri that's brought later on in the meal, even though it wasn't brought at the same time. Through the next taste of Maskel, taste begins with the words of the Gemara, take if until you die in bracha. Immediately after washing the mayim achrayim, you have to make brachas hamazon. Taste explains that it's after the washing of the mayim achrayim that then you're not allowed to eat anymore until after brachas hamazon. Our Gemara, which Taisa is quoting, says this halacha. Taisa says, therefore, the Taisa is qualifying this halacha. That, so therefore, once you wash mayim achrayim after the meal, you're not allowed to eat until you make brachas hamazon. But who then says Taisa, and also the same thing would apply, as we mentioned before, im amar havlan v'nevarach. If he says, let's go on bench, then I fill a belay natila. Then it's either or. Then even if without washing mayim achrayim, he's not allowed to eat anymore until after brachas hamazon. Turn to Taisa divrei maskel. Taisa begins with the words of the Mishnah, Berech ala pas. Someone made a bracha on the bread, Pater es ha-paperes, he has exempted the paperes, which paperes are these types of things that are related to the appetite. So one could say it's appetizers, or it's like at when you, which is whetting your appetite, and then there's also concluding the appetite, which is like what we call generally dessert. So that's what Taisa comes to explain exactly what is, first of all, paperes. And also that it's talking about papyrus that are coming in the meal itself. And that is because, like our Tosfos quotes, our Mishnah says, you make a bracha on the bread, it exempts the papyrus. But the Mishnah says, but if you make a bracha on the papyrus, let's say the appetizer, that wouldn't exempt the bread. So Tosfos says, Nira, it would seem that this that we see in the Mishnah, that if you make a bracha on the bread, you're exempting the papyrus. It must be the mayri be papyrus shabateh asudu. It must mean that it's exempting the papyrus, these little appetizers that come in the middle of the meal. Why? If you would think to say that it's the parperes that comes after the meal, let's say you would call the dessert, but says Taisus, how can you say that then the bread is exempting it? But Rapapa rules, as we mentioned in the previous daf Mem Alvim Abayz, he says, Dvar Mabom La'achar Suda, things that come after the meal, what comes after the meal, are these papyrus, these desserts, that the halacha is to in the bracha lifneim ulachreyim, that you have to make a bracha beforehand and afterwards. And so if it's coming after the meal, which actually Tosis disagreed with Rashi over there, and he says it's anything that comes after the meal, it's not like part of the meal. So then whatever it is, and for sure if it's a papyrus, then you would have to make a bracha rishayna. How could our Mishnah be saying that the bracha on the bread is going to be exempting papyrus when the Papa says it's not? So therefore it says Tosis, it must be talking about that it's not a papyrus after the meal. Whatever this papyrus is, it comes in the meal. In the meal itself, then the bread is going to be exempting it, as some of Farshim explained, because even if it's something that's like a dessert type of a thing, but let's say it was there when you wash, when you made the bracha of amaitzi, so it's included. So, but then at least then we could understand that the bread would be exempting it, but after the meal, then actually would require a bracha. Now, Rashi pirish papyrus. Now, Tosfos continues and he says that, what's the translation of papyrus? Rashi explains, what's his papyrus? Is mini dogum pargias. Rashi says, and he translates this on, he uses different definitions for the papyrus before the meal and after the meal, although they're the same concept, but by the appetizers, which is before the meal, when he's talking about that you're making bracha on the papyrus, not going to exempt the pas, he says that it's types of fish and pargio, types of meats, which are appetizers, and that's what the Mishnah is saying, that that's not going to be pater es hapas. That's the case of ksas kasha, seems to be a little bit difficult. Because im kei my kamash melon, then what exactly is the chiddush of the Mishnah? The berich al papyrus, the loy potter as a pas. What would you be telling me that if you make a bracha on these appetizers, not exempting the bread? Obviously. If you're talking about fish and pargiyot, those are shahakal. How could a shahakal exempt the bracha of a maitzi? So therefore, v'nir kapirish rach. So therefore, Tosfos says it seems like the pirish, the explanation of the Rabbeinu Chananel. The pirish, the papyrus, he says, what is this papyrus of the appetizer? It's pasanuma bakara. It's these toasted breads, like these crouton types, but like a larger piece of bread that's bakara in a bowl of soup or some type of bowl that it's soaking in. The less but teresa de nahama. It's really a piece of bread. It just doesn't have the form of bread. With that, we said in the previous stuff, the mavarchun alel, bari bin mezayin, that then you don't make a maitzi. Rather, you make a bari bin mezayin again because it doesn't have the form, the appearance of bread. Oh, v'hashta nicha, now it makes sense to Itzuk Lashmina that we had to tell you this halacha of the Mishnah, that berach al papyrus le patras apas, that if you make a bracha on the appetizer, it's not exempting the bread, because we're not talking about, like Rashi said, like fish and meats, because obviously shahaka is not going to be maitzi, it's not going to fulfill the obligation of a maitzi. No, it's avagav du min pas, even though it's a type of a bread, but since it doesn't have teresa da naham, you make a mezainis, that's what we have to tell you, it's not going to exempt the bread. And it says Tosfos v'chimash from the Gemara, like the Rabbeinu Chananel's interpretation. Those are sounds like from the Gemara, because the Chasha Papers, when he considers the interpretation of Beis Shammai, is he disagreeing with the Reisha or the Seifa? So it says, and he says afloy ma'isa gedera, where we consider the Chasha Papers, we compare the Papers to the ma'isa gedera, to the porridge. Now ma'isa gedera, what is a ma'isa gedera? What's this cooked dish? Hainu chilka targis v'tisni. Those are grits, which you split into halves, or threes, or fours, or fives, because I mean, like we said previously, which those are types of grain dishes, which like Rabbeinu Chananel that we're talking about, like the pasanuma bakara, and not like the way Rashi says it, that types of fish, and pargiot and meat. Now, continuing the next taste of the Masal, taste begins with the words of the Mishnah, Heisebu echem b'rach l'kul. Now, if they're all reclined together and they're eating a meal, then one person makes a bracha for them all. So Tosfos explains, first of all, that in today's times, you don't need, like the Mishnah says, reclining specifically. And also that the reclining, to make it as a kviyah suta together, is both for the bracha rishayna of amitzi and for berachas amazon, that one person makes the bracha for everyone. And also a differentiation between mugmer, which we mentioned in the Mishnah regarding the incense, one person making a bracha, and that difference between that and eating and drinking. Which we learned in the Mishnah that if they were sitting together, then everyone makes their own bracha. But if they were reclining, which in Talmudic times, that was making a kviyah suda, making a permanence of a meal together, then one person makes a bracha for everyone. It says, Tosfos va'onu ein lanu hasebu. We don't have this halacha of reclining, ela b'pasbul vad, only by bread. For that, we consider that as a kviyah suda. Now, more of it says, Tosfos, u'pas mahani afila b'la hasebu. And the truth is, for us, we're saying that the only thing we consider like as a permanence together is, meaning for reclining, to make it as a kviyah suda, is only by bread. But actually, it says, pas mahani afala b'lo yaseh. But the truth is that when we come to eat a bread meal, it's actually even without reclining. Why? Because the dafka that they do is specifically for Talmudic times, sha'ichlim b'seba. They would eat with reclining. So hayitrichim b'seba. So they needed the reclining to make it into a meal. But our sitting down at the table have a kviyas lanu kaseba to do. That's the same permanence when we sit down to eat a meal, like the reclining of Talmudic times. Shehima Yurigilim Kalech Lahasav Amatasav Al Shachanik, because they used to recline everyone on their couch and by their own personal table that they had. But today's times, Kolano Oichem Al Shulchanach, we eat on one table, Ukusha Ano Oichem Yachan, therefore we're all sitting down together at the table, Hainu Kviyot, saying that's our permanence and that would be applicable for this halacha of one person making a bracha for everyone else. Now, more of a sistasis. Vahacha de Ka'amar, Hayyesh Mechulu. Here where it says that if they were all sitting, etc., meaning to say the relevancy of if one person is going to make a bracha for everyone or not, says Taisa b'Gemara Mashman. The Gemara it sounds like the Ma'iri bein b'berachas ameitzi and bein b'berachas amasan. It sounds like this halacha, one person making a bracha for everyone, is both for the bracha rishayna of hameitzi and the bracha achrayna of berachas amasan. As Taisa proves it. But berachas amasan, where we say the application of the bracha achrayna of benching, that's ku'uvde de tamid de Rab. That's like the story we have the students of Rab that the Gemara brings on Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that on the way back from the Levaya, after they finished eating, they wanted to know, wait a second, we didn't recline together, we only sat, so maybe everyone should make their own bracha. Oh, but maybe since we said we should eat in this place, that's a halacha that, and as the Gemara concludes, that yeah, that is like a permanence. But one thing we see is that that was by Birchas Hamazon, they already ate. So you see the halacha of Kviyas Suda, one person make a bracha of everyone, is a Birchas Hamazon. Now so too, by Birchas Hameitzi, we also find that it's the bracha of Yishayna, Mahid de Pligi. From this, that we have a machlekes later on, next daf, on daf mem gimel mit alef. Biyayin, there's a machlekes regarding wine. Ibai has say, but meaning we know the halacha, our mishnah is talking about bread. But the halacha is a machlekes regarding wine if one requires reclining too, so that one person should make a bracha for everyone else sitting around drinking, just like bread requires reclining. Now, over there, that Gemara's discussion is regarding the bracha rishayna, the bracha beforehand. So you see that obviously that the halacha of bread, which is what we're comparing the wine to, is both regarding the bracha rishayna of making one bracha, one person for everyone, and for the bracha achrayna of berachas hamazon. Now, Omiu, however, says Taisus, b'nei adam oichem baderech, but people that are eating on the road, v'holchem b'lo yeshu, they're going, they're traveling, and they're not sitting, then kalechem avarech la'atma, then everyone's going to make a bracha for themselves, because that's not considered a kviyas suda. So though we said that by sitting together, that's considered kviyas suda, but if you're traveling, that's not going to be considered a kviyas suda, even in today's times. Now, v'm time of Taisus 1, there's a third point. Says Maishno de Bemugma, why is it different? Which Marsha wonders where does Taisus get this from, but Taisus assumes this idea. Why is it different by the incense? That, and we see the Mishnah doesn't differentiate it regarding the Mugma. Afilullah Hisebu, that even if they didn't recline, that Allah is Echem Mabarak Lekulam, that one person makes a bracha for everybody. Now, by bread, the Mishnah differentiated. Said, no, only if they're reclining together. Why by Mugma don't we make that differentiation? So Taisus brings actually Yerushalmi Parach. The Yerushalmi asks this question. The Mishnah and the Yerushalmi answers, Mishum de Bemugmer, because by the incense, by the aromatic spices, Kulam Nenem Biyachad. Everyone gets the pleasure together at the same time from the smell. Yes, yeah, so therefore that's why you don't have to recline, because to have one person make a bracha for everyone, because everyone's getting the benefit at the same time. So you don't need the Hasebah to make edits, we're doing this together, because everyone's getting the benefit together. But regarding eating and drinking, doesn't come simultaneous. This one gets the pleasure this time, he's eating this slice, he's eating that then at that time. So to make it that we're doing it together requires a seber to make a kviyas biyachad. The aromatic spices all happening at the same time, and therefore you don't need to have a seber to make it with a permanence. So ultimately, Taisus told us that in today's times, we don't need haseba, reclining, but as long as we're sitting together at the table, that's considered kfir. So that one person would make a bracha for everyone, because we don't really have this custom of reclining. So too that the reclining, to make it into kviyas suda for one person making a bracha, is both for the bracha rishon of hameitzi and the bracha achrayna of berachas hamazon, that Taisus proved from two sugyas of the Gemara. And also, he differentiated between, by mugmer, where there you don't need a seba for one person to fulfill everyone else their obligation of the bracha on the mini besamim, because the benefit comes at the same time. Whereas eating and drinking, that people are doing their own thing, so to make it together, that one person making the bracha would require only if they're doing a seba together to make it that they're doing this together. Now we continue to talk days. Begin with Taisus de Remaschel. Taisus begins with the words of the Mishnah. V'av b'shem avinas amugmer. The Mishnah was saying, even though you don't bring the aromatic incense, elachar studa, only after the meal. Oh, but still, that person will make that same bracha. Which Taisa explains, what's the chiddush in this, that the Mishnah says that the one that made the bracha on the wine is the one that makes the bracha on the mugmer. Which, again, as our Taisa quotes the words of the Mishnah, that when the wine comes in the middle of the meal, okay, everyone makes their own bracha. Comes at the end of the meal, one person makes a bracha for everyone, and the one that made the bracha on the wine, that's what the Mishnah said, that he's going to make the bracha on the spices, on the incense, even though, as our Taisa quotes in the Mishnah, that the mugmer is only coming after the meal. Taisa explained, what's this chiddush that the Mishnah is saying? Is that ukvar bichur berachas hamazon? even though they already made benching. There's already a separation, there's an interruption between the wine and the mugmer. And you see, Rashi said a little bit different. Rashi said that it's not related to the meal. Taisus says that no, there's already a hefsik, there's already an interruption between the wine and the mugmer, so you would think that it's not going to be related. And that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us, that still, once he started making the brachas, we're going to have him make the next bracha, even though there's already was a separation, a birchas hamazon, between the bracha on the wine and the bracha on the mugmer. Taz begins with the words of the Gemara that there was this lengthy machlekes. Rav Shesha Samer ain't a peiter, Rav Nachman am a peiter, v'chol tamid the Rav v'chulu etc. Which Taz just comes to explain first of all that the halacha follows like the students of Rav, which is this machlekes that Taz is quoting that wine comes in the middle of the meal, that then that does and you make a bracha that does not exempt the wine after the meal. Second of all, that if wine comes before the meal, that would exempt the wine in the middle of the meal. And then he discusses if wine of Kiddush and Abdullah would exempt the wine that subsequently comes in the middle of the meal. That is, as our Taisa is going on, the Gemara has a machlekes regarding if wine came, first of all, in the middle of the meal, and then they made a bracha. Question is, that drinking is not really for drinking purposes. It's really to help the food go down, to digest the food in the digestive system. So then the question was, is that going to exempt the bracha of the wine after the meal, which that's drinking for drinking purposes? So that's what Taisus is quoted from the Gemara, that Rav and Rav Nachman said that it will exempt it. Rav Kahana, Rav Shesha, Rav Hun, Rav Yehuda, all the students of Rav, they said it's not going to exempt it. So says Taisus, the Veneer, it would seem that Allah katamida the Rav. The Allah is like the students of Rav, one of the opinions mentioned, who they say, no, the bracha and the wine in the middle of the meal is not going to exempt the wine after the meal. Why? Because since Rav Shesha is called Kavasai, Rav Shesha, as our Taisus quotes, is like them, that says it doesn't exempt. So you have machlekes Rav Shesha and Rav Nachman. The halacha is when it comes to regarding monetary law, we follow Rav Nachman. But regarding prohibitory law, which is what we're discussing over here, we rule like Rav Shesha, and therefore we're going to rule like Rav Shesha that it's not going to exempt. Now says Tosef Avagav the Kaim under Rav Shmuel, but although there's another Talmudic rule regarding halacha that when there's machlekes Rav and Shmuel halacha k'Rav b'Isuri, the halacha follows a Rav regarding prohibitory law, and here we have Rav saying that it will exempt. Says Tosef Noshani Hacha, here it's different. Why? Because the Chol Tamid the Rav Pligola, all the students of Rav disagree with that, and they say that will not exempt. So says Tosef Mistamak Shama Mirav. So although Rav is quoted as saying it will exempt, we could assume that they probably heard from Rav that he retracted, and that actually, no, the halacha is that it's not exempt, and that's why it's been quoted as the students of Rav, that they heard from their teacher that, no, actually, it's not going to exempt. Now, Mihu, however, says Taisus, in on the tzrichen loisip sak. He says, but actually, in practice, we don't need this ruling that the wine in the middle of the meal is not going to exempt the wine after the meal. Why not? Why in today's time does not practical this halacha? Because the in onu meishken yedenim in the past klal, we never remove our hands, so to speak, from the bread at all. In other words, to have this halacha, because this whole halacha was wine after the meal. Oh, wine after the meal is considered a separate thing. It's not like the same thing as the wine in the middle of the meal. So therefore, that's what the Gemara has a discussion. Could wine in the middle of the meal, which is considered lower grade, exempt the wine after the meal? Says Taisus, we don't have this, so to speak, category of wine after the meal before Birchas Hamazon. Because for us, our meal really goes all the way to Birchas Hamazon, even if we stop eating bread until we wash Mayim Achrayim or say a Havla Anavarach, and therefore the case of Yain Lach Hamazon doesn't really apply. Now, continues Taisa Beneria, it would seem, the Yain Shalifnei Suda. What's with wine that you make before the meal? So Taisa says, Paiter Sa Yain Shabatecha Suda. That would seem to be that would exempt the wine in the middle of the meal. As Taisa explains, Avagav the Beskin and Hach, although we ruled over here, as we just said, the Yain Shabatecha Suda, that wine in the middle of the meal, in a pita yain de la achar suda, it will not exempt wine after the meal. So wait a second, you see that the wine before and after the meal, which those are drinking purposes, are different than the wine in the middle of the meal. And you see that the wine in the middle of the meal will not exempt the wine after the meal. So says Taisus, but yeah, shani hacha. That's different over here. Why? Because the zeh, over here, the wine that you make in the bracha in the middle of the meal is coming to be licious. It's coming only to help digest, to help soak the food. Now, v'zeh, the wine that you want to exempt with the bracha, is coming lishtes, is coming to drink. So the lower grade wine that's just for soaking cannot exempt the bracha of the wine that comes after the meal, which is for drinking. Aval zeh, but in the case we're describing now, the first wine that you're making the bracha on is lishtes, is a higher grade, it is more inclusive, it's even for drinking. V'zeh lishtes, and the one you want to exempt is for soaking, paiter shapa, of course, that could exempt it. Like we said, the wine before the meal, Peter Shabbatech Asuda will exempt the wine that's in the middle of the meal. That for sure should work because it's the better wine, better bracha, for sure will exempt the one for soaking. Continues Taisus. This that the Gemara explains this halacha, that the wine before the meal will exempt the wine after the meal. The Gemara explains, wait a second, that's not every time you're eating a meal, specifically in Shabbos and Yom Tov, where then you're having in mind to drink a lot of wine, and therefore it's going to exempt the wine after the meal. So it says a lot of dafka, it's not specifically Shabbos and Yom Tov. Because the same thing actually would apply if you're sitting down to eat a meal and you're going to a restaurant where you know you're going to be having a lot of wine, even during a weekday. So, if let's say someone brings wine before the meal, he has in mind he's going to have wine throughout the meal. So, pshita the yain levne suda pritrasis, it says obviously the wine before the meal will exempt it. So let's say they're having a glass of wine before they eat the meal. So of course it's going to exempt the wine that comes in the meal and later on the meal because his intention is to drink. And the chen yayin shel kiddush says, the same thing would apply when you make kiddush on the cup of wine before you have the meal, which is our custom. Of course it's going to exempt the wine in the middle of the meal. It says, the same thing is actually when you're, by Matzah Shabbos, you're making havdalah. Let's say you're going to eat malava malka right after havdalah, which sounds like the idea taste is discussing. If you're making havdalah on your table, the poita yain shel achar kenja b'teichasud, if let's say you have in mind to eat a meal, and in the meal you're going to have wine, of course the wine that you're making the bracha of havdalah is going to exempt the wine that's going to come later on the meal. For Shabbos is v'yamtiv lav davka. It's not specifically Shabbos and yamtiv. So why does the Gemara qualify? Oh, it's we said by Shabbos and yamtiv. V'liyos lemuti ela nemlach. It's only coming to exclude when, like a regular weekday, when you don't have a mind to drink wine, you just happen to have a glass of wine before the meal, and then you change your mind later on. That's where we're coming to exclude and say, okay, then you're gonna have to make a new bracha on the wine that's later on after the meal. Now, but then Taisa wants to say actually, but if you're gonna say no, but that's what the words of the Gemara was, that it's specifically that the Saloch of a Mishnah was said regarding Shabbos and Yom Tov, but says Taisa that won't reject what the concepts that we just said. But Kamakam Yeshlema, however, still you could say that yes. Hanamili, what is so? Yes, it's specifically Shabbos and Yom Tov that the halacha of Mishnah was said. But what is that talking about? Le'inyan shebal liftu yain shala'acha mazon. That was the case of our Mishnah. It's which again we said we don't really have that anyway in our times. But it's talking about the Mishnaic halacha of when you make a bracha on the wine before the meal, it's going to exempt the wine after the meal. Shehu achar shemashri yedei melpas, because that's talking about that's really you really removed your hand from the bread already. It's like almost like your meal's already over, because that's the chiddush that you're going to say that the wine before the meal will exempt the wine after the meal. She'in regilis likfaya lishtus yayin l'achar hamos mekfis, because it's not really normal, even in a wine-saturated meal, to have wine after you already finished your whole meal. Ela b'shabbos v'yom tov. That's what you could say the Gemara was saying specifically, only at Shabbos and Yom Tov, and when people are proverbing, they're sitting for a long time, and they're celebrating the Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's what the Mishnah would be saying, that's only specifically Shabbos and Yom Tov. V'loy b'shayim, not other days. Now, but says Taisa, that doesn't reject the halacha we said in the previous interpretation. But they exempt the wine in the middle of the meal, shirigilis licious, where that is normal to drink, then even other days, that would exempt the wine that's from the that you made the bracha on before the meal, because even though the wine that you drank before the meal was to drink, and the wine in the middle of the meal is to help the digestive food, that's still going to exempt it. Because the adkan lo yibayilam, because where do we have the Gemara's question? That's ele ilishris. That was only if the wine in the middle of the meal, which to help digest, the loichash, where that's not so significant, that was our question. Mapik lishris, will that exempt the wine after the meal, which is for drinking? Avalishta is, but the wine before the meal, which is to drink. The chashatve, which that's a more significant type of a drinking. The hainu yain shlevnei amazon, which that's the wine before the meal, says toisa pshita de poita yain delicious. It's obvious that will exempt the wine of the middle of the meal, which is to help digest the food. And therefore, again, essentially, even if you can say it's specifically Shabbos and Yom Tov, that was only for the wine after the meal, but the wine in the middle of the meal for sure will be exempted from the wine before the meal. And which, Taisa said, that's for Kiddush, Abdullah, that's going to be all included in that bracha of the meal that you're going to eat right after you made the Kiddush. Now, V'chein mash minami ba'arvi b'sachem. As Taisa says, it sounds like from the Gemara in Arvi b'sachem, Nafka Falav Amen Alf. Gabesh Shekitshu b'beis haknesses, which talks about the halacha, what's if someone hears Kiddush in shul? So as a machlekes amayram, Rav says that if you want to drink wine afterwards in your house, you have to make a new bar priagafen. You have not fulfilled your obligation with the bracha of the cup of Kiddush in shul, but Rav holds, you fulfilled your obligation of Kiddush. You don't have to make Kiddush again in your house, but you have to make a new bar priagafen. Shmuel held that, no, you haven't even fulfilled your obligation of Kiddush. You have to make Kiddush again in your house because you need what's called, what we know the halacha is called Kiddush b'mokum suda. Kiddush, you can't just hear it in shul. You have to be where the meal is. You have to have made a bracha on the meal item right after Kiddush. Now, the Rabbi Yechon Amar, the Gemara quotes of the Rabbi Yechon says that actually, af yidei yayin namiyot, he disagrees with those two opinions. He holds that not only did you fulfill your obligation of Kiddush, he even fulfilled your obligation of the bracha of Boi Prah Gofen, and that is, when you come home, you don't have to, you're going to eat your meal now, you don't have to make a new Boi Prah Gofen in your meal. And Avagav the Kutcher, Shalai Ben Mokum Suda. Now, even though the Kiddush was not where the meal is, Sri Rabbi Yechon held, Midiyatsu Yidei Kiddush, like a Migui, since you, like he agrees to that principle of Rav, since he ultimately fulfilled your obligation of Kiddush, because that doesn't, that's okay, even though it's not where you're eating the meal. So therefore, you also fulfilled your obligation of the bracha of the wine of the Berachas Hanenin of the Boi Prah Gofen. Now, that comes out that the wine before the meal is exempting the wine that's afterwards in the meal, even though the wine before the meal, which you heard in Kiddush, was to drink, and the wine afterwards, you have the meal, is lishris. So you see this halacha that wine before the meal will exempt the wine in the middle of the meal. Now, says Taisus, Vavagav di Taisus Rabbi Yechon, although I'm bringing a proof from Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon was refuted over the Enigmar Avi Besachim. This that he says that you even fulfilled your obligation of the Brach of Bay Prah Gofen, and that you don't have to say it over at home in the middle of the meal, what do you mean he's refuted? Says Taisus, Hainu Davka Beshinu Mokum. That's specifically regarding the element of because you changed the place. When you heard, you made the Boi Prah Gofen in shul, and now you went two blocks further in your home now. So the fact that you changed the place requires a new bracha. But had you not changed the place, then Taisus explains that we can presume that even Rav and Shmuel, who disagree with him, they would agree to him that no, you don't have to go ahead and make a new bracha on the wine in the middle of the meal, even though the wine before the meal was to drink, and the wine in the middle was to soak. Because that, like Taisus explaining, will exempt. The only reason why we refer to Birchen is because it's a Shinu Mokum because you change the place. Now, Imke Nir Misham, Sate says, it would seem from there, the Huadin Lavdala, that the same thing would apply to Havdala. The Ein Lachalik Ben Havdala Kiddush, because there's no reason to differentiate between making the Brach and a cup of wine by Havdala, which are Matzah Shabbos, and Kiddush, which are on Friday night. And says, Taisa, the reason why I'm stressing on this is Lafuke Mahani Dechalkin Vami, to preclude from those who actually differentiate, and they say that no. They say, Davke Kiddush Paiter, like we learned over the Enigmar Av Pesachim, which told about the laws of Kiddush. Yeah, there, the bracha before the meal, as you're inferring from Rabbi Yechonim, because we only reject them because Shinam Okim, that the bracha before the meal would exempt the bracha of the wine in the middle of the meal. Because essentially, Kiddush is only when you're going to eat a meal afterwards. That's what Kiddush is, when you're going to eat the meal. And therefore, oh, okay, we could say that the bracha was also going to take effect on the wine in the middle of the meal. They say, but wine of Avdala, that's not going to exempt. Even if you eat a malav malk, even if you eat a meal right afterwards, because afila hivdalach and atila, they say. Even if you're making Havdalah after you already washed your hands, because there is no relationship between the wine of the Havdalah and the meal. And therefore, even if you made Havdalah after Netilas Yadayim, you can't say, they say, that the Havdalah wine is going in the meal, because it has no shaykh, has no relation to Malav Malk, to whatever meal you're eating afterwards. The Kiddush on Friday night that is made before the meal, yeah, that could exempt, because it's like an introduction to the meal. Havdalah is not an introduction to, let's say, the meal you're eating afterwards, it's just to separate from the Shabbos that you're leaving. And therefore, Taisa says they want to say this even though you're making Havdalah after the Tilas Yadayim. Because as Taisa says, the Hachi Mairi had the Paskina, because actually that's what we're talking about. This that we rule, the Yayin Shalavnea Mazen, Paita Hayayin Shabatecha Mazen. This that the wine before the meal, like we're saying by Kiddush, that exempts the wine that comes in the meal, is the Kfar Natal Yadav, is talking about even though you already washed your hands. And actually, that's how it sounds like from the Brisa that the Gemara is going to bring later on, that that's actually how they would do it. Kate said, Seder Haseba V'chul, where it talks about how was the order of a meal that they would recline, where it says that they would drink a cup of wine before the meal, that was actually talking about after they already washed their hands. And still they're saying that, yes, that would work, let's say, for Kiddush or some other meal, which the wine is an introduction, an appetizer, whetting the appetite for the meal. But by Havdalah, has no sheikh, has no relation to the meal, and therefore they say that actually by Havdalah, the cup of wine before the meal would not exempt the wine in the middle of the meal. But Miunir Tais says, however, it would seem that no, even in Otl Yadav, like we just explained, since Tomad had already washed his hands, the daik de lecha balish tasham, and his intention is to eat and drink over there, then, like, let's say we call it Malava Malka, Paitra Philadav Dala, that yes, even the cup of wine of Havdalah would exempt the wine that you're about to have in the middle of a meal. Kedaprisha is mehidar of besachim, like we explained from this sugi in Avi Besachim, that Taisa says doesn't seem to be a reason to differentiate between Avdala and, let's say, Kiddush. Void more of a Taisa says, why should wine of Avdala be any less than any wine before any meal that it does exempt? Because you're about to have wine in the middle of the meal? Here too, when you make Avdala, so let's say it's a sukkah, you want to have a chalamayid, you want to have a wine by every meal, and you're making Avdala, you know you're about to have a meal, and you're going to have the night meal, and you're going to have wine. So Taisa says there's no reason to say that it's any difference, and then for sure it should exempt the wine in the middle of the meal. But Taisa brings, however, yeshemachmirin lahavdul koydin tilzidam, those who are stringent, to make Avdala specifically because of this discussion, to make Avdala before they wash the tilzidam time of the meal. And the reason why is lafuka nafshai meplukta, to remove themselves from this dispute. We just said, Taisa says, some say Avdala wine will not work, some Taisa says it will work. Therefore, Taisa says that there are those who specifically make Avdala on a cup of wine before they wash the tilzidam time for the meal. The azvadi tzarech levarach achar avbracha mein shalz, then for sure, since it has nothing to do with the meal, you didn't wash your hands yet, then you have to make an ala gefen after you drink the cup of Avdala, and then then it's for sure not going to exempt the wine in the middle of the meal, and then for sure they'll be able to do what they'll know is definitive, and that make a new bracha on the wine that's in the middle of the meal. So Taisa told us that the halacha is like the students of Rav, that the wine that's in the middle of the meal, that's only coming to help digest the food, will not exempt the wine that comes after the meal, which that's for a higher level, I'd say, that of drinking. Taisa says that in today's times, it doesn't really have a halachic relevancy because we don't have this, quote, yayin achra mazen, because we don't have after the meal before berachas hamazen, because our meal continues and it's always considered yayin techa mazen until after berachas hamazen. Now, moreover, Taisa says that the wine before the meal, which is coming for drinking, you made it by a pragofen, will exempt the wine in the middle of the meal, which is only to help digest, because since the bracha you made on, which is more chashub, for sure will exempt the wine, which is not as chashub, which is the wine in the middle of the meal. Moreover, Taisa says that it's not only Shabbos and Yom Tov. Whoever makes a meal, even during the weekdays, and he makes a bracha on wine before the meal, that will exempt the wine in the middle of the meal. Shabbos and Yom Tov, that we're saying, it'll exempt the wine before the meal, even wine that comes after the meal, when they already removed themselves for bread, which that you could say specifically Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Taisa says that this applies to the wine of Kiddush, will exempt the wine in the middle of the meal. So Taisa wants to say even wine of Havdalah, where he brings a dispute regarding if that will exempt the wine from in, that will exempt the wine in the middle of the meal. And therefore he says some are stringent to make Avdala before they wash for the meal, but then according to everyone, it's not going to exempt the wine in the middle of the meal, because he's going to have to make an ala gefen, and then he'll make a new bracha on the wine in the middle of the meal. Then the next taste of B'maschel, taste begins with the words of the Gemara, Yayin Shebetei Chamazin, wine that's in the middle of the meal, Ma'u Sheyiftu Yayin Shelei Chamazin, what's the halacha with exempting the wine that comes after the meal? Taste can explain, what's the suffix of the Gemara that it must be talking about that they actually didn't have wine before the meal? In other words, the Gemara brings the question, as Taisa quotes, if the wine in the middle of the meal, which, like we said, is only coming to help digest the food, would that exempt, with the bracha, the wine that comes after the meal, which is a more important type of a drinking, that of drinking? So Taisa qualifies this as a Mairi, it must be talking about to lehavlu yain lefnei hamazon, that obviously they didn't have wine before the meal, because if that would be the case, if you had wine before the meal, then that bracha on the wine would already exempt the wine in the middle of the meal, like Taisa just said in the previous Derech Maschil, and it would also exempt, like the Mishnah says, the wine that comes after the meal. Must be, if we're having a doubt, it must be where they only had wine that was brought in the middle of the meal, and that's the question, would that bracha on the wine in the middle of the meal exempt the wine after the meal? Now, Taisa continues with the Derech Maschil, begins with the words of the Gemara, Hesebuin. Okay, we're making a diuk. It sounds like from the Mishnah, it's only if they're reclining, then one is going to make a bracha of Aloya Sebuloy, but if they didn't recline, then not. Which Taisa is going to explain what's the Gemara's question from a diuk from the Seif of the Mishnah when it could have asked explicitly from the Reisha of the Mishnah, from the previous halacha. That is, the Mishnah said that if they're sitting together, okay, it's not considered kvias, one person makes a bracha for them, everyone makes for themselves. If they're reclining, one makes for everyone. So the Gemara is making a diuk, it sounds like from the wording of the Mishnah, that, oh, if they're reclining, then one makes a bracha for them all. But if they didn't recline, everyone makes their own bracha. So Taisa is bothered by a question. First of all, the Gemara asks the question. The Gemara says, oh, what am I learning the Braisa that you see, even if they're sitting, that they're going to make a bracha for one for them all. So on that, the Gemara says that that's only if they said that we're going to go ahead and eat in that place. But Taisa says, Taisa is bothered by a question. Taisa wonders, Amai makshu midiyuko, why is the Gemara asking from an inference of the Mishnah? That it says, heisebu, if they're reclining, then yes, one makes a bracha for them all, but if they didn't recline, then they're not. And that refutes the Brice, which says that no, even if they're sitting, one will make a bracha for them all. So he says, v'tikshle mireish behedya. As from their lying right before that, which explicitly says this. The Tanya, the Mishnah says, ha-yayishlim, if they were sitting, then mevarach kolech la'atzma, then everyone makes their own bracha. So why ask from the inference, oh, reclining, yes, not reclining, not. But you could ask straight from the Mishnah. The Brice says, if they're sitting together, one makes a bracha for them all. Our Mishnah says, if they're sitting, then they don't. Why ask from the inference? So he says, interestingly, he says, what you could say is, because the imiration, had we only had the halacha of the sitting in our Mishnah, having mean I would have said, what does it mean that if they just sit together, that everyone has to make their own bracha? It means sheyashvu b'shvil esakach. It means to say that they're sitting together for some other purpose, meaning that they didn't have intention at all to ever eat. Because as we know, in Talmudic times, when they would eat, they would recline. So I would have thought to say, oh yes, when are we saying that if they sit together, that then they each make their own bracha, that's when they're sitting for just random purposes and they just happen to be eating. Which that wouldn't contradict the Braisa, because the Braisa told me when they're sitting to eat. But if let's say they're sitting to eat, then I would have said, even without reclining, it would be effective. Therefore, we have to say it from the Dik of the Sefer, that says, no, only reclining. And that is, even if they're sitting to eat, but if they're not reclining, then that's not going to be the halacha of one making a bracha for all. That was what's contradicted by the Braisa. Now, we're coming to the next Taze of Maschel. Taze begins with the words of the Gemara. From the Braisa, Asar ben Adam Shoyim Mahalchim Lechul, if there's 10 people that are going on the journey, etc., and then they say, let's go ahead and eat bread, etc. So then, that's like sitting together and reclining together. Which Tesis comes to explain, why didn't the students of Rav have their doubt if it's considered a permanence by their sitting together, by saying that let's go sit over there, like reclining? Why did they only have their doubt regarding Birchas HaMazon, not by the Bracha Vamaitzi? And that is, as we mentioned before, the Mishnah said, if they're just sitting together, everyone has to make their own bracha. If they're reclining, one makes a bracha for all. So the Gemara made a dig, sounds like from the Mishnah, only if they reclined, then they make a bracha. But if they're not reclining, everyone makes their own bracha. Now the problem was, we had a Bryce that says, but 10 people going on a journey, and even though they're all eating from one loaf of bread, oh, everyone makes their own bracha. But if they sat together, they're not just journeying, then even if they're all eating from their own bread, one makes a bracha for them all. So it sounds like from the Braisa, that as long as they're sitting together, one's going to make a bracha for them all, even though they didn't recline. So Rav Nachman explains, he says, well, that's different, the Braisa, because that's Tuma where they originally said, let's go and eat over there. Then this can be considered as a kviyazu, the permanence, even without reclining. It's like reclining. But if they just happen to sit in one place without saying that beforehand, yeah, that's not going to be considered kviyaz. Now, says Tesis, the hashta nicha, now it makes sense. How the parish b'masnitin, this that we explained in the halacha, the Mishnah, that we said the ma'iri that this halacha of kviyas suda is bein b'berachas ha'maitzi and bein b'berachas ha'mazon. That applies both for the bracha rishayna of making ha'maitzi, that one person is going to make it for them all, and for berachas ha'mazon, the bracha afterwards. K'demash ma'achem etecha b'raisa, that's sub in the adam l'chul, like it sounds like from this b'raisa of the 10 people, where we're saying that they recline and one makes a bracha for them all, which does talk about the bracha of ha'maitzi. And this that we say by the story of the students of Rav, that sounds like that's even for the Birchas HaMazon. So therefore that brings the proof of what we had said previously, that this halacha of one making a bracha of them all is for both halachas. The Brais is sounding like the bracha Rishayna and the story of Rav with the students of Rav with the bracha Achrin. Now, however, Tosfos says, if you're going to say, Tosfos asks to take a second look on the second halacha of that of Birchas HaMazon, which was the story of the students of Rav. Says Amayim Tinu Limibayad Birchas HaMazon. Why did they wait to ask that question regarding when they're coming to bench? That should we each bench separately? Should one person bench and everyone listen? V'heich Baruch Ol Hapasuk Mitchila. How exactly did they make a bracha on the bread in the beginning? Why didn't they have their doubt when they were starting the meal? If everyone should make their own hamaitzi, or if one person should make it for them all. So it says, what you could say is, because Shem and Meir, maybe it's talking about the Yashva Lechel Zechazet, when they sat down to eat, they were started at different times. And therefore, Berchol Lechel Atzma HaMaitzi. Therefore, since they weren't eating together, everyone made their own bracha HaMaitzi. So therefore, they didn't have the doubt then. But when they were coming to bench, everyone's finishing at the same time, when they're getting ready, the leaving time is 1 o'clock, they're about to leave, they're benching, then they had the question, because now we're all benching together, that was their question, was it considered as a permanence because we said that let's eat together, or not because we were just sitting. Therefore, they had their discussion over there. But again, that does prove Taisa's point that this halacha of kvi suda, which is either by hesebu or by saying we're going to eat in that place, that applies both to bracha rishayna, like it's sounding from the brayis, and the bracha achrayna, like we see of brachas amazon, the story of the students of Rav.